you start?
It looks like they're not going to fit very many more people in anyway. My name is Brian Glancy. I've presented here at DEF CON several years now on different topics, ranging from PDA security now to PC encryption, hacking NTFS, NTFS OS, usually really real world demonstrations. I'll start with an agenda and an explanation. this year, the real point of my talk was the HP 5455 biometric iPack, which some of you may have seen, played with, worked with, done stuff with, all that good stuff. I was waiting in line with bated breath to buy one the first day they were released, bought one, and it turns out that they have some security issues related with them. So really, the whole topic of my talk originally was to be around the flaw with the HP 5455. So, but along the way, yeah, and some of you may have seen stuff about this. There's been stuff on the internet about it. Lots of chats on the HP website. A lot of people don't seem to understand that they paid extra money to get a biometric fingerprint reader. So when all of a sudden it doesn't work, they don't get upset, which seems strange to me. I was kind of upset that the security on it wasn't as good as it should have been. But some people aren't as worried about it as others. They just say, reset the device when it doesn't work, or restore from backup, things like that. But the long and short of the story is there is a problem with the 5455, but it's weirdly reproducible. It occurs now and then. You never can really tell. We haven't been able to track yet what makes it occur. So reproducing that for demonstration was a little bit of a not able thing to do. So I ended up making it a lot more general, showing you a lot more tools that are available to you in both pocket for the pocket PC and for the Palm, and general issues, different things that you could do to bypass the security on Palms and pocket PCs. And give you a little bit of a primer on pocket PCs, and I don't know where everybody is. So just to set everybody's expectations, there's not going to be any rocket science announcement of some new exploit that's just unbelievable. I'm going to give you a really good base on what you can do in Pocket PC, what you can do in Palm, what the security works like, how everything is laid out, and basically, the lay of the land so you can really get around and hit the ground running and play with these things. But you're not going to see anything just mind-blowing. If you know this stuff and you've done it before, remember this is a one-on-one track, so don't throw tomatoes at the end, all right? So with that, let's start with Pocket PC. Well, your main connectivity point for a Pocket PC, besides the regular network traffic that you're exposed to with the new iPacks, there's things on the market now like tri-radio iPacks that are beginning to hit the market, smartphones, things of that sort, that have connectivity both through 802.11, through things like GPRS, and also connectivity through Bluetooth, which means that you have to deal with one single device with multiple different access points and multiple different security points, and all different sorts of vulnerabilities. And the other problem that you have is that you're dealing with it on a platform that's not built with security even generally in mind. No ideas about things like user authority levels, or who should be editing the registry, or who can replace the kernel on my device. No concept like that. It's just a one-size-fits-all type of platform. So there's a lot of different issues related to that. So to cover that a little bit, let me start with what the tools are to start playing with different things on the Pocket PC. First thing is registry editors. I put up a link here, and my presentation has been submitted and updated, so you can download updated stuff off the DEF CON website, so you don't have to bother scraping down all these URLs and things. If you don't want to, you can download them. But this location that I've got on the screen here, PocketPC Developer.net, has got a listing of all the different freeware and commercial registry editors. You can edit the registry, it turns out, on the PocketPC, both locally, so like you can turn the device on, run a registry editor on there, even though it doesn't have something like RegEdit built into it that just comes with the operating system. You can download another tool and just edit the registry wherever you want. And the registry, we're going to go into it a whole bunch, but the registry is like basically the whole shebang on the PocketPC. You know, it holds passwords, it holds connectivity issues, it holds whether you prompt for a password or not. So basically the fact that you could just do whatever you want with the registry, you know, leads to problems itself. Other things in your toolkit, Redback. Some of you may have looked at this. Redback is a tool from At Stake that actually does discovering of undiscoverable Bluetooth devices. So if you look at Bluetooth, it's got some rudimentary security things on there. And one of the things it has is this idea of setting your device, whether it's visible or not visible, or whether other people can connect to it or not connect to it. What this does is it allows you to brute force find devices that are listed as non-discoverable, even if people aren't sharing them, and just be able to look at them and take a look at them. Snort and Ear Snort, everybody's probably familiar with this. The reason that I put this up here is that ActiveSync, which is the way that we get all of our information back and forth to the PocketPC, runs over regular TCP/IP. So if somebody chooses to do something silly like ActiveSync over the internet, which I recommend none of you do, but you know it's available, so if it's available, a user is going to choose it, right? Somebody's going to play with that and try it out. So given that ability, you know, whether it's 802.11 or whether you're doing it over a wired connection over Ethernet, the sniffing yields big results like plain text passwords for the device and all of the connectivity information for the device can all be garnished from the regular snort rules. Now, some of the URLs look really bad on this. I apologize for that. Let's start off by looking at the registry. Well, as I said, the registry can be edited both remotely and locally on the device. Now, the interesting thing about this is that it's not like Windows that we were used to, where or Windblows, or whatever you want to call it, which gives you a separate location to store your usernames and passwords. All of that information is stored directly inside the registry. So that makes it interestingly editable and changeable and do interesting things. The system password for the device is actually stored in the registry in a hash that is non-published, which is always an interesting thing. You know you're in trouble with crypto when somebody says that they're not going to tell you what they use to protect it. So Microsoft doesn't disclose what the hash used is. Nobody's cracked it yet, but that's yet. If anybody out there wants to crack it, I'd love to help. So, and the registry yields a lot of interesting values. This is a screenshot of a simple registry editor. This is just a freeware one for your PocketPC, so you can get a look at what it works like. Now, you know, don't be surprised at all. The layout of this is standard Microsoft. You know, H key local machine, H key current user, H key class is root. Everything is just, you know, the way that you would expect it. And you can see that some of the things that you get in this is an interesting one. This is off an IPAC 5455. This is actually where it tells it to invoke the biometric authentication. So let's say you did something like mailed somebody a worm, and you put into the program, overwrite the value in the redirect with blank, their authentication wouldn't launch. And there's no authentication, there's no extra security or protection on this. You would just be able to blow it right out. And you know, the guy might say, well, what happened to my fingerprint thing? But, you know, he'd never know the better. All different sorts of information is in here also, like the timeout also, so you can change, turn the timeout way up and be able to say, like, you know, it takes 9 hours before the password screen is prompted if you turn the device off. All those good things. So maybe the screen would still come up, but it would take a heck of a long time, and that would give you different opportunities. Some of the related values in this looks familiar, huh? Looks very much like Windows. HK local machine, COM drivers, COM setting up the communication ports, how you're going to communicate, whether you're going to use WEP or not, if you're talking about 802.11, drivers, what drivers you're going to use, what parts of the hardware you're going to use or not use. You know, there was a really interesting presentation yesterday at Black Hat Josh from Mobile Guard showed an exploit where you actually could send a full reset and wipe of the device remotely, where you could just pop it down over through a buffer overrun and be able to full wipe out the device with, you know, the user knowing nothing going on, just wipes it out. Other things that are in here, the actual shell commands are in here, so you could change out what kernel you're going to launch. You could change out what control panel you're going to launch. Everything is entirely modular, so you can switch it out in the registry, which is nice if you want to customize your IPAC and make it run like all different sorts of wild ways, but it's a real detriment to security because, you know, you could, of course, replace that with anything you want. So another interesting part about this is the best place to get more information about this is from Microsoft. They seem to be happy that their devices got very little security and can be, you know, that you can change anything out you want. One example is this that I have on the screen. It's actually a sample application that you can download and compile and run, which, when run on the device, actually replaces all the registry entries and deletes the password screen and replaces it with a doodle screen when you start it up. So they just gave you an example. Microsoft wrote their own worm, I suppose you could say, which you know, gives you the ability to get rid of that nasty little password screen that's so annoying anyway, right? Some of the different attacks against Pocket PC. ActiveSync Cradle. Interesting thing about ActiveSync is those of you with Pocket PCs have definitely noticed the system password, which is basically all the security you have offered to you on these devices. But the interesting thing about ActiveSync is it's only unidirectional. So if you're actually trying to social engineer information from somebody or get information from somebody, or, you know, if you're actually worried about somebody getting information from you, the bad part about all this is that ActiveSync, though it will protect, give you a password prompt, if you try to sync a protected device with a desktop, it won't give you a prompt if you try to sync an unauthorized device with a desktop. So you could just bring a Palm Top, a Pocket PC in, slap it down in the cradle, take down somebody's all of their email, all of their contacts, all of their calendar, all of that good stuff just by putting it in the cradle. You know, I guess it's a feature. So, one of the other parts of you know, the implications of ActiveSync running via TCP/IP is, of course, that ActiveSync is susceptible to DOS, and some of you may have seen different things on the internet recently regarding this. This is actually a link to one of the advisories that came out that says if you send malformed packets at a Pocket PC device, it will actually, you know, crash ActiveSync and do all sorts of nasty things and all sorts of good stuff. So the interesting thing about this is if you have an IPAC with 802.11 enabled, it doesn't matter what it doesn't distinguish between the interfaces. So it doesn't. You don't have to invade the cradle or something like that. If somebody's got 802.11, you can just send them packets to 5679 over the wireless, and there goes their device. Other interesting thing about pocket PCs are, of course, removable media, which is really nice and convenient because you can put stuff on it and move it back and forth from your PC to your pocket PC, and you can do all sorts of good stuff. But, of course, it's horrible because of the fact that you can't protect it in any way. You know, anybody can come up and take your SD card out and take the data off of it, copy it. You won't even know that they copied it. There's no auditing. There's no listing. There's none of that stuff. You just put it in, copy it down, and you're done. And nobody will even know that. Nobody's the wiser. So, here's a little part of the original presentation. Pretty picture, isn't it? So, the new HP 5455 uses a biometric fingerprint reader, kind of weirdly. I don't know if any of you have seen these, but they're kind of funky looking. They got a cool little... I could plug mine in. I actually have my VGA adapter on. It's got a nice fingerprint reader on it and stuff like that, so you can scan your fingerprint in and it'll do multiple fingers and all that good stuff. But, of course, the problem is that you don't have a biometric fingerprint reader also on your laptop usually, and even if you do, it's not smart enough to understand to coordinate the biometric fingerprints. So you have to use a fingerprint plus another factor, and it sometimes forgets this other factor. The way that this actually looks, and this is actually, you can follow the thread of what's going on here. And if any of you have a 5455 and you see this problem, you can drop me an email, because I'm trying to desperately to figure out exactly how to reproduce this error. What will happen is spontaneously every once in a while, when you turn the device on, it'll forget that it's supposed to prompt you for a password. And it'll prompt you for a PIN. It runs home to mama. It forgets that, you know, it's a biometric device. And it says, well, I'm supposed to prompt for something right now, but I don't know what this biometric thing is. So I better prompt for a PIN, but you don't have a PIN set. So you have no way to log into your device. You basically have to do a reset and re-get into your device kind of backwards there. And then the other problem is, when these miraculous things occur, that it figures out, it forgets what it's doing, and it goes into this PIN state, it also forgets that it has an ActiveSync password. So all of a sudden, you can just do whatever you want remotely to the device through ActiveSync, push down registry edits, change the kernel, do whatever you want without having any authorization, any security at all. It's just all gone all of a sudden. So if you're interested in this sort of thing, you could track the progress. We'll get it figured out. It's got to have something with memory leaks or something like that, amount of time that you're running the device. You've been trying a lot of different pieces here, trying to figure out what does it. Of course, it's got the same removable media security problem. It does nothing about removable media, even though you know you're spending $200 extra to get a biometric fingerprint reader. Doesn't do any encryption. Doesn't do any protection of anything else on the device. Just does a password replacement. So it's kind of cool to show your friends the cool little picture of, you know, the fingerprint reading and all that stuff, and it does a little cool picture on the screen, but doesn't really do you anything, so I would suggest that you don't waste the extra $200. Let's get to Palm. Well, Palm's got, it's actually even a little worse than Pocket PC, if that's possible, or maybe you can put them both at the bottom of the scale. It's interesting. There's lots of different vulnerabilities for Palm. These are just two popular ones. One is NotSync, which some of you may have played with, which allows you to compromise the password set on a Palm without anything. Just drop it into the cradle, compromise the password, and you're in. You can get whatever you want. You can log into the device. You can sync it. You can erase it. You can do whatever you want. So basically, the password becomes entirely irrelevant. The other interesting thing is PDD. Of course, which some of you may have played with also. Here, actually, let me screens because you'll see pictures of some of these things. PDD was recently purchased by a company called Paragon, Paradigm, Parabon, Paraben, one of those, all those different things, to put into a product called PDA Seizure, which is a forensic tool for PDAs that, you know, is supposed to let you get the information off any PDA if you had a seizure for corporate purposes. The interesting thing about it is, of course, it's a free download to try it, so you could download it for free, try it, and get whatever you wanted to get off a device if you wanted to compromise your device. It's actually a nice piece of software, not bad. Another interesting thing for Palm is that you might have heard people, you know, I had a person come to me the other day. I told him I was doing this presentation, and he said, well, on my Palm, I protect all of my data. I have it all set to hidden, so you can't read my memos or my credit cards. I keep everything in there. I keep all my credit cards, my bank accounts, everything, but it's hidden. It's secure. Nobody can beat it. Well, the end of this thing is there's a lot of freeware tools out there that are file managers or editors for Palm. Just run any editor, and you end up with the ability to see all the files that are on the device. You end up with the ability to change, edit, do whatever you want. No auditing, no access control, nothing like that. You know, just get whatever you want. NotSync, PDD, I haven't talked about it. I said it was bought by Paraben, but I didn't tell you what it does. It takes an entire image of the Palm device and dumps it to a disk file. So you can take a Palm, slap it into a cradle, image the sucker, give it back to the guy, and you actually have his Palm, but he doesn't even know it. So you have all of the information off there, but he has the Palm back, so you know, you've been able to have all the information. Yeah? Pocket PC or Palm are different answers, and mostly the answer is pretty much. It pretty much does go away. There's not a lot of residual. As far as low-level chip stuff, if you can recover, I've heard tale of, you know, people telling me from DOD or other places that, you know, you can recover stuff off the low-level memory image on the chip and things like this. I've never seen it personally. I wouldn't be too worried about it if you delete it, basically. And I wouldn't be worried about either like five times overwrite like you do with a hard disk, you know, where you do zero, zero, zeros. I wouldn't worry about that. No problem. So Palm memo hiding vulnerability, I already talked about this. Any file manager editor can view, edit the hidden memos. So I'm just about, after I get done with the conference, that guy that told me that I'm going to change all of his bank accounts and stuff like that, see if he notices. So overview of all the PDA holes and what everything means. I went quick, so you guys are gonna have a lot of time for questions and all that other good stuff. Removal of media, huge gaping hole, no solution, big problem. There are a couple different products out there. If you guys are really worried about this sort of thing, you should really look into some of the third-party tools. There's a couple products you can buy. There's some free products like SafeCrypt and different things like that you can encrypt data on your PDA. Then there's other programs by companies like F-Secure and PDA Defense and PointSec and a couple other companies that make security programs that protect PDAs, encrypt data, things like that. Entrust actually makes a really good one called Movie Encrypt, which encrypts the entire thing. Reset programs, like I was talking to you about yesterday with the demonstration of how to reset this thing remotely through TCP/IP, through whatever you want, through a buffer overrun, just wipe all the memory and erase the whole thing. The user doesn't even know anything. Whether you send it through a worm or through a net attack, allows you to just blow it out. So keep a backup. That's the moral of my story. Synchronization programs, they all suck. There's all sorts of holes in them. Don't use them over TCP/IP in the air. Don't use like 802.11. Don't do it. Don't use it over wired unless you use a VPN or something like that. Other general vulnerabilities with PDAs, of course, is that a lot of people don't even choose a password for them. They're all susceptible to dictionary attack. You know, they're not like, a lot of them aren't really smart. They don't do like locking out and wiping or any of that other good stuff. So if you want to write a program that grenade, or use an old program. You remember the old program, Grenadier? That was a really cool program that you could put up any box and programmatically, say, feed a dictionary into it, so you could do dictionary attacks on any program. Works fine. Works great with any PDA device because they don't. A lot of them don't have the idea of timing out or locking out of over multiple missed passwords. So you can just feed them passwords until you get in. Locking optional. You know, that goes into this whole idea of, you know, feeding them multiple passwords. A lot of them don't have that three strikes and you're locked out or your account's disconnected or any of those types of things. So that ends up being a big problem. And, of course, the biggest problem is no encryption. So even though you have a password, you know, your data on your SD and your compact flash, that's all in the open. And if you get past the password, you got all the data. So not much security, really, no matter what you do. The other big problem about this, which is kind of comes home with the 5455 example, is that the security varies from manufacturer to manufacturer, from platform to platform, even with the same operating system. So if you look at something like, you know, you would think Pocket PC 2002, it would be the same. If you buy Windows XP Professional, and you buy it on an HP, or you buy it on a Compaq, or you buy it on a machine that you make yourself, they all run the same with the same security properties. Well, Microsoft has deemed in its vast wisdom to make it the option of all of the people that create the devices like HP or Toshiba or any of those people to include security, not include security, or do whatever they want, build their platform at their leisure with something called the platform builder. So you can set up whether it includes security or doesn't include security is totally in the arms of the person that you buy your PDA from. So an attack, for example, the 5455 biometric one that I'm talking about, that doesn't have anything to do with a Toshiba. They've swapped it out by using that, the registry headings and that idea of the control panel password application. They've been able to switch that entire thing out. PDA connection points are, of course, vulnerable. TCP/IP, I've beleaguered enough. 802.11, yeah. And all of the WEP implementations on 802.11 for PDAs really sucks. I haven't seen a good one yet. If anybody sees a good one, tell me. Basically, it's all just regular, you know, the old stuff. Fixed key, no rotating, you know, no good stuff. Bluetooth, you know, susceptible also. We talked about Redback a little bit, which allows you to find undiscoverable devices. You know, basically disable Bluetooth if you have it on there. I do use Bluetooth, but I always use it in a very controlled environment and make sure that, you know, nobody's within a while. Like, I'll use it at my house, in my office, but no place else. You know what I mean? Something like that. Don't have it enabled in general because you're really wide open. Sync vulnerabilities, TCP/IP wireless. All synchronization traffic is unencrypted. Easy to sniff the data. Bluetooth, incomplete security. Redback software allows you to discover. And that's it. Thanks a lot. Do you guys have any questions? Thank you. Thanks. Yes? Browsing with your PDA is pretty much okay. You don't have to worry about it. I wouldn't worry about, I wouldn't be, the question was, is browsing okay on your PDA? I wouldn't worry about it. The SSL is decent. Make sure you use SSL. But other than that, it's decent. So, good use for it. What? Oh, that was a demo from a guy from a company called Mobile Secure, where he did a demonstration of a buffer overrun that they reported to Microsoft that allows you to reset the device and erase all the memory. Just all you have to do is send a regular URL and the whole device wipes. Pardon? It hasn't been released. He posted it to Microsoft, reported it, but you know, now they have these new procedures that, you know, that you can't tell about it until it's fixed. Yeah. It stores it in just a file on the device. It's stored as just some data point. It's not even a bitmap or anything like that. It stores the like 8 points. It's actually a very bad biometric lax, if you want to look at it. No, 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 God. Jeez, you are naive, aren't you? No, no. No, no, no. It's not an industry standard at all. It's just, it's stored really badly. The implementation is not good at all. I wish it would have been better. I hope somebody comes out with, if anybody has a software company in here that does stuff for like IPACs, write a new biometrics piece of software for the IPAC. I'll buy it from you right away.
I love that. That would be great. Yeah.
PA Bomb, PA Defense is a good one. PointSec has got a good one. A company called PointSec has got a good one. The only negative thing I've ever seen about any of the companies that does, the different companies that do the security, is about a year and a half ago, PointSec had a vulnerability found with their storing of their passwords in plain text, but that was fixed like right away. But other than that, I haven't. There's not really a problem. No. It's good. Any more questions?
Yes,
sir.
On the CDD, is that kind of like a spell saint or something?
It's like a ghost. If you've ever played with ghost for a, that's what it is. It's like ghost for a PDA. So you put it in, it doesn't even know it's there, and it just takes all the data right off the device and it puts it in an image file. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's exactly what you could do. Or the other thing you could do is reset the device, do a soft reset on the device, and it usually figures itself out again. That's I have thought about the pin issue though, resetting it directly. Yeah.
On that biometric sensor, you mentioned that it stores data points. Do you know how many data points?
Eight.
What's the resolution of each data point?
It doesn't say. It doesn't say directly. I read in some of the technical briefings about it, it said 8 points. That's the only rail of data it gave you.
So it can store 256 different biometric sensors. How large?
No, no, no. I mean, I'm talking about like eight different like curls or parts on your fingerprint. I'm not talking about like eight different fingers. I mean, it takes your finger and looks at eight different spots on it, and then it memorizes those eight spots, which is usually
very large, many mapping
of the device. No. Yes. The biometric itself, and if anybody wants to look at one, the biometric itself is totally a photographic biometric. It's not conductive. It's not heat sensitive. It's none of those things. So it would be susceptible to all of those things, like photocopying your finger and running that if it were a high-res picture, or any photo replay of your finger to the device. It would be, yeah, it's very low-res. Yeah. Any more? Okay. Yeah, very much so. The Zorus is interesting. The real problem when it comes to PDAs is that people usually don't think about what they're going to do with them before they get them. And then they also end up with, you know, this idea of, you know, they'll have three or four if they're working with other people. People have all different ones, and then you have to, you know, try to figure out how to secure all of them. But the Zorus is pretty good. The security on the Zorus is pretty good. Yeah. Exactly. Any more? Well, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great time at the conference.
The way that you are.